You will never get to your destination if you are running on fumes. Again, you will never get to your destination if you are running on fumes. I could end the sermon right there, but we will go further. We're still in our series, In for Service, where we're prepping for where God would have us to go, but too many of us can't go anywhere because our tanks are on empty. Which means until we are filled up, once again, we aren't going anywhere. Again, to go from where we are now, point A, to where God would have us to be, point B, there are things we have to ensure are in working order. We were broken up by a wonderful reflection and sermon from Joey, soon to be Reverend Baker, speaking a prophetic word. But if you remember 3 weeks ago, we discussed patience, having the right level of patience for the journey. We also spoke about being charged up properly, not having too much negativity in our lives, but counteracting the negativity that ultimately comes with positivity in our thoughts and our speech. But again, we aren't going anywhere if our tanks aren't full. What do I mean by this? I thought I would regale you guys with a story from one of my favorite TV shows. Now, if you do not have Comedy Central or Netflix, you are missing out on Seinfeld. And if you've never watched Seinfeld, you need to watch Seinfeld. In two sentences, it's the story of a comedian and his very eccentric friends living in New York City. They're weird. They're heavily opinionated. They're off-putting, too many. But the show is hilarious nonetheless. Anyway, in one particular episode, Kramer, Jerry's neighbor, decides he wants to test drive a new car. Anybody know this one? Okay. So he goes to the dealership, finds a dealer, and heads off for a test drive. Now, they drive one of those dealership vehicles on the street, but Kramer suggests you don't really know a car until you put it through a rigorous challenge, in this case, the highway. So the men end up driving on the highway. After a while, the salesman looks down and says that the gas gauge is near E and suggests that Kramer exit off the highway to get gas. But Kramer, being Kramer, replies that he wants to ignore the facts, ignore common sense, and keep going. So they keep going. Eventually, the car reaches E and the yellow light comes on. Now the dealer strongly suggests pulling over and refueling. But again, Kramer ignores fact, ignores common sense, and keeps pushing. Soon the car starts to have a delayed response to the gas pedal. It starts to jerk. Soon after, it begins to sputter, and then ultimately, nothing. It crawls and crawls until it finally can't go any further and just stops. Right on that highway. Not a very hospitable location, but it dropped because it could go no further. Upon the car stopping, Kramer tells the salesperson he'll think about buying the car, gets out on the highway, starts walking, and just leaves the car there. Some of us are the car today. Some of us are the pragmatic salesman. And some of us are Kramer. What do I mean by that? Excuse me. Like Kramer, some of us will ignore the facts, the common sense, the headaches, the fatigue, the crankiness, the upset people around us, and keep pushing and pushing and pushing and going on fumes, being a complete nuisance until we ultimately burn out. Or some of us are like the salesman, where we know that we shouldn't charge so hard and maybe even go in a different direction, only to relent to a more dominant voice and just go along for some ride that we know won't end well. Or maybe we're just a car, just a vehicle for people to use and abuse, and when they're done with you, leave you on empty, stuck in your tracks. Food for thought. But no matter which of these three categories we fall into, the common theme is clear. Running on fumes will only get you so far. In an article written by a writer and a fitness instructor named Cara Jillian Brown, there are multiple ways our bodies tell us that we're running on empty. Not sleeping well is one. Carrying excess tension, which might explain the little aches and pains that we have in our body. Difficulty concentrating, forgetting what we were just about to do, or taking longer to do a task. Shallow breathing, which increases our heart rate. Or my favorite indicator, being easily irritable. I'm not looking at anybody when I say that. But the point is, again, and if you take nothing else from this sermon, you take this. If you are running on fumes, you will not go where God has for you to go. a fact that Jesus knows pretty well. In our scripture reading from Luke's gospel, we find Christ at what seems to be a usual occurrence in his life. We find him working. Now, many people would not believe this or realize it, but carrying on the tasks of ministry is indeed work. Right, Hoyt? Some of the most demanding, stressful, yet beautiful work that one can do in their lives. And as we know, Jesus was no stranger to labor. In this passage of scripture, Jesus comes face to face with a man who has a troubling skin disease. This man is in pain, literally and figuratively. People with illnesses, as many of us know, were deemed unclean and thereby ostracized from society. So when Jesus hears and sees this man, his infinite mind immediately shifts into work mode. The suffering man falls prostrate on the ground and begs with all he has, saying, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Notice what the man says is not a question. It's not an ask from an unclean man, but it's a declaration and an acknowledgement that Jesus, in fact, has the power to do what no one or nothing else in this world could do: cure this man and replace his pain with joy. Now, in the scripture, Jesus immediately answers him. But as we know, this isn't a solitary request. Once word gets out from the very first healing Jesus performs, you have to believe that every sick person, every suffering person came to Jesus asking for healing. Day after day, night after night, town after town. Some of us don't like to be asked to do something more than once a day for people. Imagine dozens upon dozens of requests, the frustration, the trepidation to even venture out. Because the second he left his shelter, boom. But thanks be to God that our Savior isn't like most people. The manner of man Christ is someone who's willing to labor and willing to work and willing to help. But he knew what we have to know, that running on fumes will only get you so far. So right after he hears the declaration from the unclean man, Jesus responds, "I am willing, be made clean." And with those six words, all the pain and the suffering of the unclean man washed away. Because all it takes is a word from the Lord to turn our darkest nights into our brightest mornings. Wow. But after this man is healed, Jesus does something really interesting. He tells the newly healed man to tell no one. Now, why would Jesus say this? It seems counterproductive, doesn't it? If he is trying to start a movement, why not advertise every single thing he's doing, right? If he's doing all these miraculous things, trying to build the kingdom, why wouldn't he want to bring attention to himself? Word of mouth back then is the ancient Facebook. Why wouldn't he just want everyone to know that he possessed all this miraculous, wonder-working power? Just like everyone wants to tell every detail of their existence. And the answer is, it's because he knew that he would never get a moment's peace if the man told everyone. If Jesus willingly told everyone what he did, then he would have to labor morning, noon, and night, and he would never have time for himself and time for what was most important to him, which was a relationship with the Father. Now, even though the unclean man seemingly obeyed, his very presence was too loud of a testimony to that wonder-working, miraculous power. Even without that promotion, crowds descended upon Jesus, begging and seeking and asking to be healed from all sorts of ailments, which meant that Jesus had to labor more and more and more. Now, the work of healing, as I said, is a stressful, taxing work, which Jesus testifies to in another encounter. If you remember the story of the bleeding woman a couple of chapters later in Luke chapter 8, someone touches the hem of Jesus' garment, and Jesus immediately stops and says, "Who touched me?" And the disciples say, "Oh, how do you know? There's so many people around." Jesus said, "I know someone touched me because power left me." Power is another word for energy, which Jesus is testifying that every time someone is healed, it takes energy away from him. Which means that if Jesus is healing every single person day after day, night after night, Jesus is about to be running on fumes, which is just like us, demand after demand, place after place, request after request. Running and running and running and running until we're running on fumes and we have nothing to give ourselves or God. But unlike us, Jesus is never going to run on fumes. Here, verse 16. Verse 16 reads, "Meanwhile, he would slip away to deserted places to pray. Here's what God is saying to us today. You ready? Okay, here we go. Sometimes you have to withdraw. Here we go. From work, from church, from people, from places, from memories, and from expectations. Oh, we're going somewhere now. Once more, from work, from church, from people, from places, from memories, from expectations. Because if you don't, you might cause yourself a harm that you will never recover from. Sometimes you have to withdraw, even when you're busy. Even when you have a million things to do, a million and one responsibilities, and a million and two open tasks to complete. Your inbox may be full, your voicemail may be full, and you may have a million text messages to respond to. But if you're running on empty, you are no good to yourself, you are no good to the people around you, and you are no good to God. So sometimes you have to withdraw. Scripture doesn't say that Jesus goes away after the long line ended, that Jesus answered every request and healed every person before he finally got up to leave. No! Meanwhile, meant that sometimes some healing people were left for a while. Some prayers went unanswered for a while because Jesus had to make sure that he wasn't running on fumes. We have to make sure that we are not running constantly on fumes. What do I mean by this? If you run, all right, imagine you hit the ground at 6 o'clock. Some of y'all hit the ground at 4:30, 5 o'clock. God bless y'all. I don't know why you do it, but more power to you. You get up, you run, you get your kids ready if you're working age and you got young kids. Make sure kids are ready. You go to work, you come home, spend family time, your dinner. You may have some more work to do because America makes you work after you're supposed to work. And then the second you hit the bed, you are so tired. You forget to pray. Or you are so bombarded thinking about all the things you have to do in the morning that you forget to thank God for even waking you up. And these things that we're so focused on don't mean anything in heaven. But we're still running and running and running and running. And then eventually we are no good to nobody. And I know that's a double negative, and I meant it that way. Now, most of us are on empty. Why? Because American culture promotes us being empty. American culture tells us to work till we drop, to always keep moving, keep climbing, keep achieving, to be a, quote, man, to be a, quote, woman, means you can't sit still. Sitting still means you are lazy because we're always supposed to be working. There's so much to do. Mama and daddy always move, so we always have to move. Why? American culture tells us to document everything and shout from the mountaintops when we visit someplace. Look at me, I'm here. But the Christian life is supposed to be countercultural, which means we need to be doing the opposite of what most people are doing. Christians are supposed to find rest and sometimes pull back, because if we're always on the go, always consumed with problems, our problems, or even worse, someone else's problems, then we won't have time for what's most important in life, which is our relationship with Christ. It's nice to have children. I have children, and they're nice. I like them. They're fun. But I'm not called to give every second of the day to my children. There needs to be time for God. I can't spend my time telling a whole bunch of Facebook friends who I really don't even know beyond this stinking app about my hopes and dreams, and I don't tell God that. I'm filling up on the things of the world, even the beautiful things like family and friends, then I'm not going to go as far as I need to go because I'm neglecting that prayer time, that play time, that peace time with God. And slowly and slowly and slowly, I am causing damage to myself in the long run. When I'm on my deathbed, the fact that I painted the gutters won't matter. Hear me, y'all. Right? And my kids can miss not seeing Minions in the movie theater because I need to get my spiritual life back on track for an hour. Don't be filled with busy. Be filled with God's Spirit. The Spirit fills our tanks with the love that we need to show and the love that we need to give ourselves, the joy, the peace, the patience, the kindness, the goodness, the faithfulness, the gentleness, and the self-control. Those are the things that will help us go longer and go faster and live a greater quality of life. And when those things start low and they come low and we seem to be running on E, this is where we come to get replenished to the face and the feet of God. So be like Jesus. Withdraw. Stuff can get done later. Or stuff that's not important don't need to get done at all. Withdraw. Pray and be filled. I'm done, but if you read the e-gram today, Wednesday, or sometime between Wednesday and today, I said prepare for an unorthodox sermon, didn't I? I did. If you're an able-bodied person, I need you to stand up right now. If you're able-bodied. Kim, find me a great piece of, no, you get up too. I was gonna say, you want me to find you a great piece of music, but no. I want every able-bodied person to spend the next 5 minutes withdrawn from your seat. Go find some place to pray, in here or outside. Whatever is on your heart, go do it. Go pray. Find yourself somewhere else. Your regular seat will be here in 5 minutes. Go. 5 minutes, come back. Everybody, every able-bodied person. If you're not able-bodied, you want to go too, go. The door is open.